Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Tornado Tally, good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast.
Glen Allen will never be the same. There's no doubt about it.
The tiny town in southeastern Missouri obliterated by a deadly twister in what has been an unprecedented tornado season so far this spring.
It's like a train coming.
Five were killed in the storm, which featured 130 mile per hour winds. The damage hard to put into words.
Our shop is leveled. Our barn is leveled. Our chicken shack is leveled, but our house is here.
A lot of sadness knowing there has been loss, but a lot of faith.
So far this year, there have been nearly 500 reported tornadoes in these United States. That's double the yearly average. Missouri Governor Mike Parson.
When you look at the devastation of this, it's going to be weeks upon months to be able to recover. It's a long journey ahead for the people that live here.
The day after the storm, heartbroken victims working to reclaim what's left of their lives.
Right now, it's about the families. It's about the loved ones. It's about picking up the pieces.
More than 120 twisters have touched down in the Midwest since the start of the month. One of those funnel clouds landed last night in Louisville.
Just how strong you could feel the wind against the bathroom wall. It was just unbelievable.
Reporter Marissa Burke has more from the south side of Louisville.
The storm knocked over trees and power lines all throughout the city. Complete walls collapsed. Roofs on apartment complexes gone.
The same storm system that is battering the Midwest brought up to 4 feet of snow to parts of the Dakotas the past few days. A barrage of rockets fired into Israel today from Lebanon. 34 hit targets inside the Jewish state. 25 were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome defense system.
Israeli media is reporting this is the largest barrage of rockets from Lebanon since the war in 2006.
Trey Yanks in Jerusalem says tensions are high between Jews and Arabs in the Holy Land right now.
The overlapping of holidays. You have Ramadan, you have Passover, and it has led to what is happening right now.
The rockets were fired by Palestinian militants. That attack today comes after Israeli soldiers removed by force many of those militants from a mosque in Jerusalem. A bipartisan congressional delegation made a surprise trip to Taiwan today in the face of the ever-growing threat posed by communist China. Texas Congressman Mike McCall.
Being here, I think, sends a signal to the Chinese Communist Party that the United States supports Taiwan, and we want them to think twice about invading Taiwan.
China considers Taiwan a renegade province. House Speaker McCarthy defending his decision to meet with Taiwan's president in California.
I am the Speaker of the House. There's no place that China is going to tell me and where I can go or who I can speak to, whether you be foe or whether you be friend.
McCarthy calling on the Biden administration to speed up weapons sales to Taiwan. U.S. intelligence officials say China is likely to invade within the next 5 years.
If China tries to take over Taiwan, is President Biden still committed to putting U.S. boots on the ground in Taiwan?
We've answered this question multiple times. I don't have anything else to share.
Presidential Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre pressed there by the White House Press Corps. China today sent a fleet of ships through the Strait of Taiwan, a body of water that separates the mainland from the island. Taiwan is just 100 miles from the Chinese coast. President Biden has a Democratic challenger now in the 2024 race for the White House. He is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., filing the necessary paperwork to run for president. It comes as a Fox News poll shows Biden's approval rating is near record lows. The House Judiciary Committee may issue subpoenas to force testimony by the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg. He's the guy taking on Donald Trump in an alleged hush money scandal. Trump was arrested and charged this week with 34 felony counts. Trump attorney Alina Haba.
He's going to go down as a disgraced DA, and he's going to hurt his politically
motivated Democrat Party. That's it. Bottom line. Period. The end.
House Republicans want the DA to explain under oath why he decided to investigate Trump when others passed at that opportunity. Mike Pence says he will not fight a court order to testify about Trump's alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election results.
The former vice president will not appeal a federal judge's order to testify in the special counsel investigation. That opens the door to new, possibly crucial access to Pence, who witnessed firsthand Mr. Trump's actions leading up to January 6th and could speak about it under oath for the first time.
Correspondent Haley Jackson. Cash App founder Bob Lee was stabbed to death this week in San Francisco. The 43-year-old creator of the mobile payment app found murdered outside his apartment Tuesday. Lee had just spoken out about the lawlessness in San Francisco when he was killed. In an effort to crack down on crime, Los Angeles is playing classical music in the city's subway system. Music is being blasted at a loud volume at downtown LA metro stations. It's all part of a new effort to prevent homelessness and loitering.
Beethoven is not going to cut it. The metro system has now become synonymous with bodies on the floor, overdose, death, and despair.
Soledad Osada is a public health and safety expert in LA and not a fan of the classical music crime-fighting tactic in America's second largest city. Still to come on the Noon Report, a Thursday edition. Stalemate at the State House, pumping the brakes on renewables, and drag queen story hour in the crosshairs.
Well, good afternoon to all. The storm system that brought our region the rain, the thunder, is moving away now, and the expectation is for clearing skies and a nice, albeit cool, Easter weekend weather-wise. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin Williams, thank you for that. Let's check the stories making news where you live next. All across New York and Pennsylvania, an upstate New York woman who was abducted from her home has died following a shootout with police on the side of a highway in Northern Virginia. The man who took her was also shot and suffered life-threatening injuries. 34-year-old Tatiana David of Ithaca was kidnapped early yesterday. A major move by New York State could ease the transition from fossil fuels to a green economy. The governor wants to change the accounting standards for greenhouse gas emissions from 20 years to 100 years. Environmentalists are upset over that, but Southern Tier lawmaker Tom O'Mara says it makes sense to pump the brakes on the mad dash to renewable energy. He says a fossil fuel-free New York economy would destroy the state. Energy expert Doreen Harris agrees. She says this doesn't have to be an either-or issue.
When we think about how we get from here to there, what we have learned over a series of years is it is possible to do both.
New York's Climate Change Action Plan is one of the most ambitious in the country. It requires the state to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by the start of the next decade. New York Governor Kathy Hochul wants to tie the state's minimum wage to the rate of inflation. That's a move supported by union leaders. Mario Salento with the AFL-CIO.
Over time, the cost of living increases, so purchasing power decreases. And as a result, from year to year, minimum wage earners find it much more difficult to support themselves and their families.
Critics contend the minimum wage was never intended to support families. Republicans argue tax relief is a better solution to improving the purchasing power of New Yorkers. Where there are drugs, there is usually crime. Police in Elmira, New York say two marijuana shops were robbed this week. The state recently green-lighted dozens of cannabis licenses 2 years after voting to decriminalize pot possession. One of Pennsylvania's largest power providers is reeling from a public relations nightmare. Tens of thousands of PPL customers say they're being overcharged on their energy bills. This woman explains what it was like for her when she called to complain.
Towards the end of the phone call, the woman told me, she says, "I just want you to keep in mind that there is like almost 86,000 people ahead of you." with the same issue.
PPL blames a system glitch that's been going on since January. The power provider hopes to have the problem rectified by the end of April. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for an end to swatting calls that have affected more than 200 schools in the Empire State.
Imagine the horror when a parent hears there might be an active shooter in the school. Imagine the horror of the students. It's traumatizing. And even though it's soon discovered as a false alarm, the trauma doesn't go away.
In Lockport yesterday, Schumer petitioned the FBI to launch a full-throated investigation into these computer-generated prank calls that came in the wake of the Nashville school shooting. Pennsylvania Representative Aaron Bernstein plans to introduce legislation soon that would ban drag queen story hours on public property or in areas that can be seen by minors. The bill will be unveiled in recognition of Child Abuse Prevention Month. Bernstein thinks drag shows should be classified as adult-oriented businesses. A drag queen story hour event planned next week in Pittsford, New York, just outside Rochester. Transgender activists plan to host an event for kids at the Pittsford Community Center. Town Supervisor Bill Smith says to those who plan to protest,
and to those who are critical of this event, not that I think I need to tell you this, but just remember that disruption would do nothing more than grant victim status to a group of people who are desperate to seek it and are trying to get it through this event.
Drag activists are upset over the fact that they have been made to foot the bill, the $8,500 bill, for added security for that April 15th event. An arrest has been made in connection with the vandalism that occurred recently at a war memorial near Buffalo.
20-year-old Michael Stasiak was arraigned and charged in connection with vandalism at Russell Salvatore's Patriots and Heroes Park in Williamsville. In order for the park to be restored to its original condition, a few of the memorials will need to be completely rebuilt. It could cost up to $400,000. The park is slated to reopen on June 14th in honor of Flag Day. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, Dee, thank you very much. You got to spend money to make money, or so the saying goes. That appears to be the strategy that Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is taking after 4 months on the job. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Shapiro wants to spend roughly $50 billion the state has on hand over the next 5 years. His administration believes the upfront investment will pay out in the long run, boosting Pennsylvania's pool of workers to support the silver tsunami of retirees that lies ahead. The Department of Aging told the Center Square that in less than a decade, one in three residents in Pennsylvania will be over the age of 60. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you kindly, Terry. A total eclipse of the sun will happen 1 year from now, and a school in Western New York plans to celebrate by giving kids the day off.
It will only happen once in our lifetime that the sun is blotted out completely, bringing us to nighttime darkness in the middle of the afternoon for 3 minutes and 50 seconds. The last solar eclipse was 1925. The next one will be 2144. Planetarium Director Mark Percy says the temperature will plummet at least 20 degrees. Because it's happening at 3:15 p.m., right as classes get out, Williamsville Central Schools announced they will give kids an extra day of spring break in 2024 so they have a chance to watch the eclipse with their families and avoid traffic. People will be coming from all over the world next year to watch it in Buffalo, New York. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
All right, that's something. Thank you very much, Sarah. This is the Noon Report, a Thursday edition on Family Life. Next, the Mets get swept by the Brewers in Milwaukee. The Brew Crew walked it off in the bottom of the ninth with a tie-breaking home run. Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor.
I believe in the team. I believe in every single guy that we have. I think we have what it takes. We have the it factor.
We have the it factor, says Lindor. The Mets are 3-4 on the season. The Yankees take 2 of 3 from the Phillies. Gerrit Cole earning his second win of the season, striking out 8 while allowing just 1 run over for 6 1/3. Manager Aaron Boone liked what he saw from his starter.
I thought his fastball was really good command-wise. You know, changeup continues to be a factor for him. Both breaking balls, he was sharp.
Philadelphia, meantime, tied for last place in the NL East right now, record of 1-5. The Pirates celebrating a series sweep of the Red Sox. 4-1 your final at Fenway. Mitch Keller terrific on the mound, allowing just 4 hits while striking out 7. Don't look now, but the Pirates have twice as many wins as losses on the young season. The road to the NBA Finals will travel through Milwaukee, the Bucks securing the top overall seed in the league following a home win last night over the Bulls. The NBA playoffs tip off next Tuesday here already. This year's NCAA Men's College Basketball Championship brought in record low viewership. UConn's win over San Diego State on CBS Monday night, the lowest viewed college finale ever. Kansas men's basketball coach Bill Self says he'll be back. No plans to retire after a health scare this season. The 60-year-old missed the Big 12 and NCAA tournaments after undergoing a heart procedure in early March. And they're playing golf at Augusta. The 87th installment of the Masters Tournament teed off this morning. 26-year-old Scottie Scheffler will be looking to win another green jacket, and Tiger Woods may be playing in his last Masters. He's won it 5 times before. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report, we'll take a deep dive into the dangers associated with cancel culture. Faith Under Fire is coming up. Rocket attack in Israel today. Not a bad Easter weekend shaping up weather-wise. Kevin Williams will get to that right after this.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. At the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
Jesus would have baked the cake. Christians hate LGBTQ people. You're on the wrong side of history. Why can't you just let them be their true selves? That's just your truth, not mine. Or perhaps most painful, especially when it comes from a friend or a family member, if you love me, you'd accept me for who I really am. Look, all these slogans leave Christians silent or shamed today. But at root, they're just different ways of saying the same thing. That truth and love are incompatible. To tell the truth, especially when it comes to issues of sexuality and gender, is to be unloving and intolerant. And to love someone is to always affirm their choices. And there's a uniquely Christian version of these slogans too. Taking a moral stand, we're told, especially on questions so culturally controversial, will distract from the gospel. The church needs to be more welcoming and avoid anything that makes people feel excluded from the church. After all, we're told, isn't the gospel really about inclusivity? Well, today, of all the days of Holy Week, directly confronts this mentality. Maundy Thursday set aside on the church calendar to remember the Last Supper. The word Maundy comes from the Latin word for mandate or command. At this first celebration of communion, Jesus gave his disciples a new command that they should love and serve each other. And to demonstrate what he meant by this, he picked up a basin of water and a towel and washed their feet. Now, to fully understand the words and actions of Jesus here, recall that at this Last Supper and First Communion, Jesus and his disciples were actually obeying an original command from God given to all Jews to always remember Passover. God's people were to never forget how they had been rescued from slavery in Egypt. For Jesus to issue a new command on this night was an audacious thing to do, especially given how heavily God's original command weighed in Israel's history and identity as a people. Jesus, however, went even further than just merely adding instructions to an old celebration. Now, rather than just remembering how the angel of death passed over those homes with lamb's blood on their doorpost, they were to remember him, his broken body, his shed blood. Ultimately, the new command was to remember a new rescue and how, through Christ's death, death is not merely avoided, but finally defeated. Though the volume has increased in recent years, the American church has been dividing over whether it should be primarily about proclaiming truth or serving others since at least the early and mid-20th century. The Lord's Supper and Jesus' new command reminds us that this is a false dichotomy. It's an unnecessary choice to make. These two things, truth and love, need never be separated and should never be separated. On the same night, Jesus commanded us to remember how his broken body and shed blood rescues us from sin? That's truth. He commanded us to demonstrate our new life by serving others. That's love. We need not choose between truth and love. In fact, we must not choose. They always go together because they are both grounded in the same source, or more specifically, the same person. Jesus embodied truth and love, not only in the event we commemorate today, but in every event we remember this Holy Week. He is truth, he is love, and he is risen indeed. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Indeed he is. Thank you very much, John. A lot of you've got plans for the weekend. What's that weather like, Kevin?
This afternoon, staying cloudy in central New York, central east Pennsylvania with a couple of showers. Sunny breaks farther west developing. Temperatures mostly in the 50s and 60s, dropping tonight into the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sunshine, chillier than today, mid-40s to mid-50s. Saturday and Sunday, bright and sunny. High temperatures Saturday, 40s, low 50s, and a few degrees higher than for Easter Sunday.
We'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price, and some breaking news from the Middle East this Thursday, the 6th of April. 34 rockets fired today from Lebanon into northern Israel by Palestinian militants. It comes as Jews celebrate Passover and Muslims remember Ramadan. That rocket attack, the biggest in Israel since the war there in 2006. 25 rockets were intercepted by Israel's famed Iron Dome defense system. A devastating tornado tore a path of destruction through southeastern Missouri yesterday.
I heard the roar coming through.
It was breathtaking.
Just the mess that there is, the trees that are down.
Five were killed when a town there was virtually wiped off the map.
The devastation in this rural community of Glen Allen is absolutely astounding. Case in point, I'm standing in the middle of what we're told was the Glen Allen fire station. And now it's just basically a concrete slab with a bunch of rubble scattered all over.
Reporter Maggie Vespa says another twister killed one in Louisville. It's from the same storm system that spawned blizzards in the Dakotas. Since the start of April, over 120 tornadoes have touched down in the Midwest and Deep South. Student-led protests held yesterday all across the country in the aftermath of last week's deadly Nashville school shooting. The demonstrators were clamoring for more gun control. And today, thousands are expected in the Tennessee state capitol to protest the possible expulsion of three Democratic lawmakers. They're accused of inciting a protest last week on gun reforms. Such expulsions are rare. It's only happened twice in Tennessee since the Civil War. A bipartisan congressional delegation made a surprise trip to Taiwan today. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy wasn't in Taiwan. He was in California meeting with the president of Taiwan.
America's support for the people of Taiwan will remain resolute, unwavering, and bipartisan.
China, meantime, sent a fleet of warships through the Strait of Taiwan today. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich could be behind bars for over a year as he fights spying charges in Russia. The 31-year-old is the first journalist detained there since the Cold War. Mike Pence says he's willing to testify about Donald Trump as a special counsel probe into the events of January 6th gets underway.
I obviously have nothing to hide.
An advisor to former Vice President Mike Pence says he could testify before the D.C. federal grand jury within weeks.
I think the American people deserve the whole story.
Possibly providing a vivid firsthand account of then-President Donald Trump's attempts to stay in office.
Robert Costa reporting Maryland's Attorney General Anthony Brown's released a report detailing the sexual abuse of more than 600 children the past 80 years by 150 priests in the Archdiocese of Baltimore.
While it may be too late for the survivors to see criminal justice served, we hope that exposing the Archdiocese's transgressions will bring some measure of accountability and perhaps encourage others to come forward.
Kansas has just voted to override the governor's veto of a bill that bans transgender students from participating in girls' sports. This affects students from kindergarten to college. 19 other states have similar laws. The Florida Senate approving a bill that bans children from undergoing life-altering operations in an attempt to change their gender. The legislation prohibits anyone under 18 in Florida from getting hormone treatment or sex reassignment surgery.
In Florida, we let kids be kids. We have a responsibility to our children to make sure that they're well taken care of and their mental health is intact.
Meanwhile, California's Attorney General blasting a West Virginia law that protects women's sports from the growing influence of transgenderism. AG Rob Bonta calls the legislative effort in West Virginia, quote, absurd. New York's Attorney General Tish James also condemning that law, despite unfairness issues that arise from permitting biological boys to compete against girls. A rust problem forcing Honda to recall 500,000 SUVs. These are SUVs in cold weather states.
The salt used to de-ice roads can cause the frames of some Honda CRVs to corrode. Honda's had 61 complaints. In some cases, the rear trailering arm can fall off. No injuries have been reported. No issues outside of the so-called salt belt. This impacts 07 to 2011 Honda CRVs.
Jeff Gilbert in the Motor City. You're tuned in to the Noon Report, a Thursday edition on Family Life.
The cancel culture and its double standards, plus how the cancel culture is being spread from one generation to the next. This is Faith Under Fire. I'm Greg Gillespie on Family Life, and today a return visit from Dr. Paul Kenger, who is the director of the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. In this conversation, we want to get to what's happening with the young generation, particularly in school curricula. But before we do that, this question of cancel culture and the ability to talk to and listen to and respect each other is not limited just to young people, is it?
If people of faith in America today, you know, you should have the freedom of conscience to disagree with the cultural revolutionaries on some of the issues that they want to shove down our throat.
Has there ever been an era where things are this divided and there isn't discussion and debate and the search for compromise?
Well, you know, Greg, people often say, right, it's the worst it's ever been, you know, on this and that, and oftentimes it usually isn't. But I would say in that respect, it is. I mean, this is truly a cancel culture. And I see it as a Christian conservative, not just from people on the left who really have started it with political correctness and false claims of diversity and tolerance, which you find out they really don't believe in diversity and tolerance as soon as you disagree with them.
What is going on that the culture has become so divided and that people on one side of a political aisle or the other cannot listen to each other and those in the middle are caught in the crossfire?
This is the kind of moral, cultural insanity that the world and the culture devolves to once you break away from the idea of biblical, natural law and absolute. And once you let that genie out of the bottle, it's just going to be a complete cultural and social and relativistic madness. That's where we're living under in America and the West. It's not pretty.
Traditionalists will say that that's something that's being indoctrinated in college and universities and has been for a generation. What's the state of academia in America right now?
Well, that's indeed where it's come from. It's come from the universities. There's no question whatsoever that it's come from the universities. And I saw all of this developing in the 1990s, early 2000s. And it's crucial that it happens in the universities because that's young people. And young people are the ones who work at Google, all the different social media platforms. They are kind of these invisible, anonymous faces, the anonymous power behind the cancel culture at Facebook and Twitter. So you'll put something up and it'll tell you that you violated whatever standards, that you are sowing disinformation. The whole COVID thing, that happened a lot too. And I've talked to doctor friends who will say, I had my account suspended because it was said that I was spreading disinformation. And when I demanded to know what disinformation I was spreading, no one told me. And I'm screaming at my computer wanting to find out who canceled me, who did this, who said that I'm guilty of something, who's the person? Does the person have an MD? Does the person have a graduate degree? Who is this person who canceled me? And usually the answer is some faceless, anonymous millennial just out of a university who has this power. But these are the same people that are canceling over gender and marriage and all these other cultural social issues. And to circle back, Greg, to your original question, they came out of the universities. It all started with the universities. I would urge people listening to me, be careful where you send your kids to college. Be careful where you send them to college, because that college in 4 years can undo everything that you taught Johnny or Susie at home since the very first days that they were out of the womb until they left your house, you know, in the fall of whatever at age 18. Be very careful where you send them to college. It is crucial.
Our guest today on Family Life, Dr. Paul Kenger, who is on the faculty at Grove City College in Grove City in Western Pennsylvania. He also directs the school's Institute for Faith and Freedom and is senior editor of The American Spectator. You can listen to Faith Under Fire Thursdays during the noon report on Family Life. We also provide it for you on our news podcast page, available 24/7. This is Faith Under Fire. I'm Greg Gillespie. Family Life News.
All right, some heady stuff there. Thank you, Greg.
Good afternoon. Here's your Family Life regional weather forecast. It has been quite the coast-to-coast storm this country has seen this week, starting with record snows in the Mountain West, then the big thunderstorms in the Heartland, and yesterday, thundery downpours from State College to Seneca Falls producing flooding. System moves away, skies ahead will be clearing, and again, the Easter weekend itself looks bright and dry, but on the cool side. Here's the call for this afternoon, staying cloudy in central New York, central and eastern Pennsylvania with a couple of showers. Sunny breaks farther west, developing. Temperatures mostly in the 50s and 60s, dropping tonight into the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sunshine, chillier than today, mid-40s to mid-50s. Saturday and Sunday, bright and sunny. High temperatures Saturday, 40s and low 50s, and a few degrees higher than for Easter Sunday.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally at noon, a bat belonging to the great Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT, the King of Swing, the one and only Babe Ruth, has fetched a record price at auction in Pennsylvania. Ruth used that bat in 1921, the year he slugged a record 59 home runs. That's a record that stood for 40 years before another Yankee, Roger Maris, broke it in 1961. The Ruth bat sold for nearly $2 million yesterday at the Hunt Auction House near Philly. Now, the 44.5-ounce Louisville slugger that Ruth used, about 10 ounces heavier than the bats used by today's Major League Baseball players. That Ruth could swing the lumber. That's the world we live in, Thursday, the 6th of April. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.